we're living in a different day. I've heard some modern preachers say, we just can't sing or preach anymore the way they did before. But it was old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned preaching that got my attention and got me to thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death lay hold on me. The Holy Spirit used it and drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved. It's not education or organization, but faith comes by hearing God's holy word. It's not about our works or the things that we do. It's all about Christ and the truth. But it was old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned preaching that got my attention and got me to thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death lay hold on me. The Holy Spirit used it and drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved. But it was old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned preaching that got my attention and got me to thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death lay hold on me. Lay hold on me. The Holy Spirit used it and drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it. That's how I got saved.
How I got saved. You ask me why I'm so happy, why there's a smile on my face. If you had known me a few years ago, before I had tasted his grace, I know you would see there's a difference in me, that something amazing took place. Well, I'm so excited that I just can't hide it. My past has all been erased. I just can't get over my sins being over since I have been under the blood. I just can't explain the miraculous change since I have been washed in the flood. He's so high above me and it's just beyond me, the depths of his marvelous love. I just can't get over my sins being over since I have been under the blood. I feel the joy overflowing since Jesus paid my debt for me. All of my shackles are forever broken. I am forgiven, set free.
I am set free.
I'll sing and I'll shout it, there's no doubt about it. My soul is pardoned, redeemed.
I am redeemed.
The burdens I carried have all been buried deep in forgetfulness. See,
I just can't get over my sins being over since I have been under the blood. I just can't explain the miraculous change since I have been washed in the flood. He's so high above me and it's just beyond me, the depths of his marvelous love. I just can't get over my sins being over since I have been under the blood. Oh, he's so high above me and it's just beyond me, the depths of his marvelous love. I just can't get over my sins being over since I have been under the blood. I'm under the blood.
Glad everybody could be here today. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for how you love us. Lord, we are excited about our VBS. I'm excited to see what you're going to do. And Lord, I thank you for the young men that have come to help us with that. And Lord, we ask that you will just guide and direct. We ask that you be with this this morning's service and this evening's service. That'll be honor and glorifying to you. And we ask you all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 168, A Mansion Over the Hilltop.
I'm satisfied with a little cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But then that city where the rents will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, with that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder we will never more wander the streets that are purest gold. Though often tormented and tested, and like the prophets, a pillar of stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow. And someday yonder we will never more wander the streets that are purest gold. Don't think me poor, desolate and lonely.
discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city, not a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, with that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but down the streets that are purest gold.
Amen. You may be seated and turn over to 456. Count your many blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings in your life, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, know that God has promised you this wealth untold. Count your many blessings, money cannot buy your reward in heaven and your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So among the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you till the journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Welcome to church. Tonight we're starting our VBS, so hopefully everybody's ready for that. And we have three young men that are coming to help with, or are here to help with that. And then that will be, that'll start tonight and go to the 29th. August 1st, bus visitation, operation, saturation, and soul winning at 10 in the Sportsman's Clinic in Hastings, Nebraska, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The bus will be leaving really, really early. And then August 4th through the 6th, YouthCon trip to Harvest in Oklahoma City. That should be fun, too. My wife's looking really forward to it. Sunday, August 23rd, back to school, a promotion Sunday with snow cones for all. And please remember the prayer requests, and remember to pray for Vacation Bible School and all the teachers.
Good morning. I happened to look at my watch and realized, I think Brother Martin told me, hey, we got 7 more minutes. And I looked at my watch and I said, well, according to my watch, it's only got 2 minutes. And so found out my watch is right. That clock's wrong. But the good thing about it gives me 10 extra minutes to talk tonight. And I said, hey, you know, something good come out of this. I get to go, if my eyes on that clock, I'll be in good shape. Okay. I hope you had a good week. We've had a good week. It's been kind of strange. I woke up this morning, didn't know whether I was going to even be able to be here. My face was swelled up. I had to put an ice pack on my eyes and get them open. So I went to the dermatologist, and they cut off some cancer stuff. All my hair on my face feels like it's been singed, and it's just like needles sticking in me. But anyway, this morning that kind of surprised me when I woke up, and I was, my eyes were swelled. They took a deal off the middle of my forehead there, and it's just I think got irritated a little bit or something. But we are in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. We talked about him there in Capernaum in the first part of the chapter, and the centurion, the Roman centurion that the Lord was just so amazed with. He said in verse 9 down there, he says, I say unto you, I have not found so much, so great a faith, no, not in Israel. This man had a great faith in God, and of course his servant was healed. And then last week we talked about the widow's son was raised from the dead. Now, a little different situation. The man was sick, and in the Gospels we've seen the Lord take care of sicknesses and things like that. But in this particular instance, this person was dead. I mean, they were no longer with us, you know. So it's interesting. When a person dies, you can ask them any question you want. They're not going to answer. And you can, whatever. But we find out here, like I talked last week, the important part of that section is to realize that Jesus was compassionate. And any of the miracles that he does in the scriptures, we find that it's based upon compassion, his compassion. The feeding of the 5,000. He's seen the people there, many of them, and he had compassion on them, and he fed them. And so we see that it wasn't to prove anything to anybody, although it did prove to some that he was the Son of God, that he did have the power of these things. We talked about the raising of Lazarus last week. Jesus had compassion on him, and these things. And so But the last part of the part that was in last week in chapter 7 and verse, we'll start back here, verse 14. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." We talked about that he had the power, and he addressed this young man. He didn't address everything. Had he not gone when he raised up Lazarus, said, "Come forth," every grave would come forth. I mean, everyone would have rose, but he was specific. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." Here he's talking to this young man, arise. And so there's power in the Lord here. And and verse 15 says, and he was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. He had compassion for the mother. That's what it says in verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, knowing that this was her only son. It was her, and that she was a widow. Her husband had already died, and so she was alone, and she was weeping, and she was in a dire situation here. And so the Lord raised him from the dead here. And it says, verse 16, and it came to pass, it says, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And the people were amazed at what happened, and they seen this, and they really began to glorifying God for what happened. Now, verse 17 and 18, last part of this particular section, it says, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea and throughout all the region around about, and the disciples of John showed him all these things. We're going to talk about this. Right here in the middle of this, we see John the Baptist. He's in prison at this time, and we're going to be looking at that today. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne, we are thankful. We do serve a great God, Lord. We know that you're full of compassion. Lord, we're thankful for that compassion because, Lord, if you weren't compassionate, you could destroy us because of our sin. And Lord, you would never have compassion on it. But yet, Lord, many times in Psalms, David thanked you for your compassion toward him, knowing that he was a sinner and lost. And Lord, we, knowing that we're a sinner and lost, we're so thankful, Lord, that you're compassionate for us, that you came to this earth to pay the price for our sin. Father, I pray that you just be with us today as we look at this portion of Scripture. Lord, that you might be exalted and lifted up. For Lord, our purpose is to glorify you, magnify your holy name this morning. I just pray that you'd have your will and way in each of our lives, open our hearts. I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move and work. Lord, we're thankful for the time that we have to have Vacation Bible School. Lord, we just ask that you'd have your will and way in all that we do and say this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Speaking of Vacation Bible School, I think that's what all this decoration's up for. I don't know exactly where the choir is going to sing from today, but I'm sure they'll sing somewhere. But maybe they're going to stand in front here or whatever. But we're all decorated for something. I think it's Vacation Bible School. Okay. All right. So it is a little different. I know my wife's watching on at home. I'm wondering what it looks like to her. But anyway, it looks like I'm standing right in the middle of space, you know, here. Anyway, so where were we? Oh yeah. So we see the rumor of Christ is what happened here. I believe there was a lot of talk about this man that his servant was sick, but to the point of death, and that he was healed, and then this widow, her need was met by the Lord, and the compassion of the Lord, and the things here, and so many rumors. That's exactly the way things moved in those days. They didn't have telephones. People talked. We're getting into a generation and time where we really don't talk too much. There's times when my wife kind of gets on to me, that I can be around the house for a while, and she says, "What are you doing?" And, you know, I'm over here working or doing something. Well, she just, "You're not talking to me." You know, and I think that's sometimes a problem in our generation, that we do not communicate very well. And we can see that everywhere around the country. But these people in these days, there was rumors, and went forth throughout all of Judea and through all the region around about. And the disciples of John, they had seen these things. And they came to John and showed him. Let's look in Matthew chapter 11. He talks about that a little bit more here in chapter 11 of the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew chapter 11, and we'll begin reading here in verse 4. And Jesus, let's go up to verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, "Art thou he that should come, or shall we look for another?" And so we see this question come up here. But we notice in this verse of Scripture that he's talking about he had heard in prison. The rumors of Christ and the things that he was doing were heard there in prison. So we see here in Luke's gospel, he says in verse 19, "And John called unto two of his disciples and sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Now, when he's asking this question, he's not asking whether if Jesus the Messiah. He knows Jesus is the Messiah. We can go back and look in the Gospel of John's Gospel, chapter 1. We find there, and I always like starting this verse because it's just the place that everything really starts. It says right here in verse 6 of chapter 1, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. And he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light." That's his purpose. He was come as the prophet to bear witness of the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he came. And it goes on to say down here in verse 11, he came unto his, talking about the Lord here, he was not the light, verse 9, was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, and so which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And it says, verse 14, very familiar, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And it said, verse 15, "John bare witness of him." That's what his purpose was. He was come to bear witness of the Lord. And we find out in another part of this particular scripture, we see that Jesus is baptizing. And verse 23 says, "And he said, I am the voice that they were asking to John, who he was. They had come and was questioning him. He says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said in the prophet Isaiah. And they which sent him were the Pharisees. And so we find out, and it says in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He knew who Jesus was. He's not asking who Jesus was. But what he's doing is we need to realize in the Old Testament, and that's what he's familiar with, that's what they had in those days was the Old Testament. The Old Testament shows the Messiah in Isaiah 51, 53, and 50, and Psalms 22 show the Messiah as the suffering Messiah. And then also it shows him as the promised king. Also in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10 through 14, Isaiah 9, 6, Isaiah chapter 11, and Psalms 2 shows him as the Messiah coming as a king. And so John's not confused in prison. He's just asking, which one is it this time? Are you coming as a suffering Savior, or are you coming as a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? And so, you know, when you look at that like that, it's not John questioning who Jesus is. And either one of these places, you can read it in Matthew and in Luke here. Sometimes people read that and they think that John was maybe having some doubts. No. He had no doubts. He knew who he was. See, he was the man sent from God. He knew what his mission was to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find out in Isaiah 61, let's turn there, which also was talked about in Luke chapter 4, but we're going to look at this Isaiah 61 and verse 1. So when the disciples came here in chapter 7 and in Matthew, as it's the same time, and they told him of the great things that had been done. And Jesus, and we're going to look at it in the scriptures here in just a little bit, and Jesus, we'll look at this a little more. It says, but in Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord is the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim the liberty of the captive and open the of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim, then he stopped right there in chapter 4 of Luke when he went and proclaimed and made his announcement that he was the Messiah that had come in the synagogue that day. He stopped right there because he's talking about the first part of that. He's the suffering Messiah that's coming. He's the Messiah that's going to come and fulfill Isaiah 53, Isaiah 51. You look at that for just a few minutes, and you'll see here, and we should be familiar with that, but it is Sunday school, and we have time since I got an extra 10 minutes. Okay, so let's see. Isaiah starts there in Isaiah 51. He tells us there, talks about the suffering Messiah. Let's look at 53. It's more easier one to find all that. I didn't have that underlined over there. But anyway, in Isaiah 53, he says, who has believed our report? Who has, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And he says, for he shall grow up from before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has not form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's talking about the description of the Lord, and he is despised and rejected of men. That's a suffering Savior. He's despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did despise him, stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But this shows the suffering Savior. But here in Luke's gospel, when the disciples of John came to Jesus and asked him, let's read in verse 19. And John called unto him his two disciples and sent them to ask, art thou he that should come, or we look for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in the same hour, notice here that the Lord didn't answer the question right away. He said, in the same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and the evil spirits, and unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen. This was his answer. He didn't say yes or no. He said, so just go and show John the things that you've seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk and the leopards are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he who whosoever shall not be offended in me. And that's what he told them to tell John, that all these things that happen. Well, that's exactly what it said there in Isaiah 61 and verse 1, when he talked about the Spirit of God was upon him to do these things. Miracles were done. So he was proving or showing to John that he is the Messiah. Again, he saying this. And so we see that they had this to go back and to tell John. And he said, and he was encouraging him in verse 23 when he said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John, you're doing the right thing. You did the right thing, and you're not offended, because you pointed out, being the prophet that would point out. And Jesus is going to talk about John in the next few verses here. But he's going to point out to him how important he was to the gospel message, to the prophecies of the Old Testament. John is a very pivotal person here, and that he's showing and pointing to the Savior. And so it says in verse 24, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. He had some things to tell the people about John. I believe that here we see the Lord Jesus Christ praising this man that came before him. And we see he starts out by saying here, the Lord says, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and lived diligently are the king's courts. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Then he, this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before me. For I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And then read 29. It says, all the people that heard him and the Pharisees and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. So he's talking here, the Lord is explaining. I believe that what he's doing here, he's showing three things he's praising John for. John, I believe the first thing we see there in verse 24 is it says, the messengers, and the last part of that, the Lord said, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind. It talks about the steadfastness of John. John was steadfast. It didn't matter what the world was doing around him. He was just like Paul said in Romans chapter, just thought of that, Romans chapter 12. Romans comes right after the book of Acts. So I don't know why I was looking in Corinthians. But anyway, Romans chapter 12, the verse 2 says, Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. John was steadfast. He was steadfast in his belief that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that this is the one that he was to proclaim as the Messiah. And matter of fact, he was in prison because he was not going to compromise even to the king. Herod had him put in prison because of Herodias, his brother's wife. John had told him it was wrong for him to marry her, to take her. And so he was cast in prison for that. He stood for something that was true, and he stood steadfast. The Bible tells us in Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 15, it says, tells us there to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's exactly what John was doing here. And the Lord, I believe, is pointing out in these verses here that he was standing steadfast on the word. And I believe that we need to stand that way. We need to stand for God's word, and we need to stand with God. And I think in the day and age in which we live, we may find these things out. We may be tested in some ways. I look around about us today. You know who's getting tested today? Israel, Jewish people. They are in a mess in New York City. They got a guy in there that hates Jews as a mayor. And he does everything he possibly can to irritate them. And actually, I seen on the news yesterday that they were getting a little irritated with him, too. So, you know, there. But and I think it was just like when Hitler was taking over Germany. He came first for the Jews. He took the Jews. I think it was, I don't remember who I was reading after, somebody that was in that time, but he thought to himself, I'm not a Jew. That's their problem. Well, I'll tell you what, that's bad thinking, because it wasn't too long he started coming after the Christians. He came after the Lutherans, and he came after different ones. Of course, the Baptists. And, of course, if you've ever read the Trail of Blood, you know that a lot of people have come out at the for the Baptists, and one of the reasons why, since I'm talking about John the Baptist, there's a real reason why they did the Catholics. I can tell you in the early days of the Catholic Church, they hated Baptists because Baptists said that they preached the same thing that the Lord said, that a person had to be born again. You had to be, before you were baptized, you had to be a believer. So guess what? That takes away infant baptism. Infants can't believe. They haven't come to the age of accountability. And so John was standing up for the things that were right. And just as today, we need to stand up for those things that are right. We need to be steadfast in those things. Not only that, the Lord praised John for his austere living, that he was self-sacrificing. He lived in poverty. What does it say down here? He says, "But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? That was not John. He had on the camel's hair and girded himself with that. It wasn't soft clothing. He was a man that was separated. His separation is what he's talking about. He was separated from the world. He didn't live like the world. He ate locusts and honey. He didn't go down to McDonald's and get his hamburgers. You know, he was separated here, and he didn't have a gorgeous apparel or any of those things. He said, you see those things, you're going to have to go to the courts of the kings. But John stood in poverty, but he preached the gospel. He was steadfast in that. But the Lord here is praising John for these things. And it says in verse 27, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before the Lord. So he's preparing the way. I believe that's what, as I look at John, and that's what I see. He prepared the way. He told the people that they needed to repent of their sins, and they needed to confess the Messiah is coming. And just like when we have Vacation Bible School here, one of the first things we're going to ask the kids is, do they know they're sinners? You got to know that you're a sinner before you can get saved. And so, because you know you're a sinner, you can confess your sins. And the Bible tells us he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So and I believe that's exactly what John was preaching and telling them. So there's a few places here. Jesus praised John here for his denial here in verse 25 of this verse of scripture. I think I already read it, but what went you out to see? It wasn't a beautiful thing. Behold, they didn't go out to John to see the great clothing he was wearing. He was a separated man. He didn't live like others. He was willing to be poor. He was doing that so that he might be able to preach the message of Christ. You know, John had a good following. He had, I'm sure, that there were people there that could help him and did things for him and everything like that. But he still was. He didn't because he could. Because he had enough people following him, he could have probably got some things from them and lived a better life. But he didn't do that. He stayed the poor man that he was, and he just wanted one thing he wanted was to preach the gospel. And it says in verse 27, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. So we see the Lord praised him for for his steadfastness, for his separation, his self-sacrificing, his poverty that he lived in. It's for his self-denial of the things of this world. And Jesus praised him also for being that prophet. Yeah, that prophet. You see, in this last part, he says, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send a messenger before me, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I said unto you, whom are these, tells him, whom those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John. Why was John so great? There was a lot of prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he knew about the life of a prophet. It was a prophet, he was a suffering prophet. I believe John was a suffering prophet. People, like I said, they put him in jail because of the things he preached. And he said there's no greater prophet. What I read in different things, I think it was Barnes and Barnes' note said he was he was the greatest prophet because he was the one proclaiming, here's the Messiah. He was the one pointing out the Messiah. This is he who's going to take care of the sins of the world. This is the one that we can look to. As said in John's gospel there in chapter 1, he says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That what made him the great prophet, because he was showing the Messiah. He's showing that the Messiah has come. And so I think it was in Barnes' notes that said that made him the great prophet. That was what it was talking about there, that he was the greatest of the prophets. Like I said, Isaiah was a great prophet. I mean, in Isaiah, the amazing thing, I've been reading through Isaiah lately and kind of studying it a little bit, because in Isaiah has 66 chapters. Representing 66 books of the Bible. And guess what? It takes him from the beginning, being a savior, clear through the book of Revelation. Okay, because he tells us in Isaiah, tells us about the king that's going to come, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so that's why we look in Isaiah 61 Isaiah 11. Is one in those parts where it talks about him being the Messiah. So not only did he talk about him coming the first time, he's the one Isaiah proclaims and tells us that Jesus Christ is a child that's going to be born, and his name is going to be Wonderful, Prince of Peace. All these, that's found in Isaiah. But then also Isaiah tells him that he's also going to come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so it's all in the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah was a great prophet, but he wasn't the one that proclaimed that this is the Messiah. John did that. That's why he is called the great prophet. And so it says in verse 29 of our lesson here today, it says, and all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. Now, these guys feel pretty good, huh? The publicans here, because, hey, we knew what John was saying, and we got baptized. And so, and of course, the Pharisees and the lawyers, it tells us here, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God against them, against themselves, being not baptized with John. John was coming and said, telling them they needed to follow the Messiah. And the way they showed that they were following the Messiah was being baptized. Guess what we do today? First of all, you got to be saved. And you accept Christ as your personal Savior. Then we follow the Lord in believer's baptism. It's back there somewhere, really it is. But follow the Lord in believer's baptism. to show that we're with him, that we're with him. We're on the Lord's side, buried in the likeness of his death, risen in the glory of his resurrection to walk in the newness of life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. It's very important. And so John's the one that comes in and he shows the picture with baptism. I just feel that a lot of times John pointed out to us how important it was to do the things that God wants us to do. Be steadfast, live a separated life, and to prophesy and to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Now, I still get 3 or 4 minutes here, but I'm going to let you go because I know I'm way past time. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day. Now, Lord, we ask that you be with our pastor as he comes and brings the word. Lord, I pray that you hide him behind the cross this morning. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of each and every one of us. Father, that we might be able to yield ourselves to you and, Lord, allow you to work in our hearts. And, Father, I ask that you be with anyone here today that might not know you as their Savior. If they have any doubts in their heart at all, Lord, I pray that they would find you and know beyond a shadow of a doubt who you are, just as John knew that you were the Messiah. And Father, I pray that you just have your will and way now in the services to come. We ask it all in thy Son's name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you're just...